thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
And I wanted to bring a message this morning that will encourage you and that will strengthen you. I know a lot of people struggle over the summer months. They sort of feel they're a wee bit out of routine or maybe not going to the same midweek things and whatever, and they just struggle to keep a focus in their faith. Well, this morning, I want us to look at God's love, to think about that this morning. No matter how young you are, and there are some wee kids here this morning, or how old you are, and there are some old people here this morning, the foundation of our faith, surely, is God's love for us. Isn't that what it's about? There was a theologian, and he was giving a talk to students, a great theological talk. And somebody asked him, could you summarize your whole life's work in one sentence? And he said something like this, yes, I can. In the words of a song that I learned at my mother's knee, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We can know theology to us bursting out our brains, coming out our ears. That is the foundation. Do you know Jesus loves you? Oh, what a wonderful truth. John Newton, he had been a slave trader. He said he was just the worst sinner. He wrote Amazing Grace, many other hymns. He preached. He was a minister of a church. At the end of his life, he said, oh, the memory's a bit dull. I can't recall a great many things, but this one, this is what I recall. I am a great sinner. And he is a great savior. Hallelujah. If we remember that, that's the main thing. So this morning, going to have 4 points, brief points. Remember his love. Rejoice in his salvation. Rest in his keeping. And rely on his love. So firstly, remember his love. I don't have a text, a specific text, because I'm going to have lots of Bible verses throughout. This does make me laugh. I wrote this sermon earlier in the week. I write it earlier in the week and I go over it and change and whatever. And I start it off, how do you feel? How do you feel? Right, I've been so excited. I'm going to say, here's my confession. I was so excited all week, not because I'm preaching this morning, that's a shame, but because we are supposed to be going holiday at 3:30 this afternoon. 2 ferries booked, one from here to Scotland, one from Oban over to the Outer Hebrides. Hotel booked, and we blew up the electrics in the car yesterday. So we're not going this afternoon. And I was reading the sermon out to Graham this morning. I say, oh, the Lord has such a sense of humour. How do you feel? We went to somebody kindly came to look at the car, or we took the car last night, and I said to Graham, can you drive home because I need to cry? But he said, I need to cry too. But neither of us cried. Well, I did when I got home, that's a confession. But he didn't cry. But anyway, I drove home. How do you feel? I like to know how people feel. I often say, how do you feel? It's good to know how we feel. It's dangerous to rely on your feelings. That's because how you feel today will very much or might depend what kind of a week have you had. Some of you might just have had the very best week of your lives. Put your hand up if that's you. Heather has been at Fire Conference in Cork. She's had the best. She should be up here speaking this morning. She's had the best week of her life, so she's feeling fantastic this morning. I won't ask if you've had the worst week of your life, but you might have had a difficult week. When I read the people this morning in our church, and there are others who have been ill, if you or somebody you love has been ill this week, you might have struggled a bit with your feelings this week. You might have struggled this week at work. There might have been stuff going on in your family this week, and you've struggled. You might then have wondered, does God really love me? You think, well, I wouldn't think that. Some people do think that. When some people really are up against it, they say, does God really love me? Or am I really saved? Am I actually a Christian? If I feel like this, if all this stuff's happening, is there actually any hope for me? That's why I say it's not good to depend or to rely on your feelings. We need to acknowledge how we feel, but we need something more solid to depend on than our feelings. We need constantly to turn to the Word of God. Our feelings come and go, but this word is solid. This is the truth. Our feelings are like a little plant in the wind. The wind blows, the wee plant blows. The wind blows the other way, the wee plant blows the other way. That's how we are if we depend on our feelings. But if we anchor our lives in the truth, then no matter what winds of circumstance blow, we can remain steadfast and strong. What better truth to anchor ourselves on than that God loves us? Is that not the best truth? There are over 160 verses in the Bible that ask us or tell us to recall or remember something. Often what God has done in the past. This morning I want you to remember something. And listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. These words are mind-blowing. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. For he, that is God, chose us in him, that is Christ. I'm going to read that again with God and Christ put in. For God chose us in Christ before the creation. What? Yes. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. I am going to read that again. For God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. That is why we must not rely on our feelings, because they are changeable, they are unpredictable, they are quite often dependent on circumstances. But these words are the truth, the anchor for our souls. Regardless of what is happening in your life this morning, here's the truth. Before the world was even created, before Adam and Eve ever rebelled against God and sinned, before you were born, God chose you to belong to him. Friends, that is the greatest mystery. That's what the Bible calls predestination. You know, for some people, that's a matter of theological debate and discussion. For some people, it's a point to be argued over. See, for me, that is the greatest joy of my life. I don't understand it. I don't claim to understand it. God's word says it. I 100% believe it. Friends, this morning, do you believe it? the truth right there. Me, you. I mean, do you ever say, why me? Why me? Why you? Paul answers, in love. In love. He predestined us. In love. That's the answer. So whether you're rejoicing in life or struggling in life, remember this foundational truth. He loves you. He loves you. He chose you. Before you ever thought about him, his hand was on you. His spirit worked in your heart. He called your name. We don't love him first. John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Hallelujah. So today, remember his love for you. Don't allow your feelings to call the shots in your life. Don't allow the feelings. You are a child of God. You have been adopted into his family. He predestined you to be his son, his daughter. Amen. Remember that truth. And secondly, rejoice in his salvation. It's one thing knowing, it is one thing knowing about God's love in your head, but you will know if you have really grasped this by one simple test. Are you rejoicing in his salvation? Are you this morning? I need to preach on the love of God more often. I've heard more amens this morning than I heard since the beginning of the year. That's it. Are we rejoicing in his salvation? If you've grasped it, if you've grasped his love, you will be rejoicing in his salvation. And if it doesn't touch you, you haven't grasped it. Simple as that. Because it can't leave us unmoved. When you read through the Psalms, in particular, I think, you see how often they deal with our feelings, very real feelings. But how often that the writers, they come back to those foundational truths. Listen here to David in Psalm 13. He asks this in verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And then verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Hallelujah. Friends, that's real life. Sometimes we're wrestling with our thoughts. Sometimes with our feelings, we're wrestling with them. But we need to come back every time and say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I trust in your unfailing love. I rejoice in your salvation. Because life is rarely a bed of roses for any of us. We need someone to trust. Trust in him. Listen to these verses from Paul in Romans 5. I read these last week at communion. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I know many of you could quote these verses verbatim. Try not to just let them, you know, pass over. Try to really think about them. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates what? What does God demonstrate? His own love for us. His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So, did that thrill you? That's one short passage. The Apostle Paul knows how to pack it in. One short passage. The whole gospel presented. God loves us. Helpless, weak, ungodly sinners. God loves us. He gave his son, Jesus, to die for us. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. That means we have right standing before God, before a holy God. We have right standing. We have been saved from the wrath of God against sin through Christ. We are reconciled to God. Hallelujah. If you want to find cause for rejoicing, don't look first to your circumstances. Sometimes you'll find it, sometimes you won't. Let your first port of call for rejoicing be in God's love for you. His calling, his salvation. What did Jesus tell the disciples who were making success in the ministry? The cause of their rejoicing, the source. In Luke 10:20, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what to rejoice in. Then thirdly, rest in his keeping. I often say this, but I've been a Christian now for 44 years, almost 44 years. That makes me, you know what, I became a Christian when I was one. No, I didn't. That makes me quite old. But this is my testimony. Had it been up to me to keep my salvation for 44 years, I could never have done it. Never. Why not? Well, the main reason for me is I would have been totally discouraged, mainly by myself. That's the main thing for me. My own faithlessness at times. My own inability to keep walking the road at times. For me, that has been the most discouraging feature of my life has been me. I would have given up. At other times, I maybe looked at circumstances and depend on how I felt. And my faith has wavered. But why am I still standing 44 years later? Because I've learned a secret. It's not about my hold on the Lord. It's all about the Lord's mighty hold on me. Hallelujah. Do I see a wee nod of the head and an amen there? It's about his hold on me. I'm on the mind-blowing scriptures this morning. Friends, listen to this. Listen to this. Again, people like to debate over these verses. I just like to believe them. John 6:37-39. All, Jesus speaking, all that the Father gives me, that's you and that is me, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Praise his name. Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Listen to this. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. You can debate about that if you want. I'm believing it. I am believing it. God chose us in eternity past to belong to him. Mind-blowingly awesome mystery. We praise his name. gave us to Jesus Christ. Because of that truth, you will never be lost. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God isn't intending to scrub it out. He hasn't written it in these erasable biros. No, he has written it there, and it will not be given, it will not be rubbed out. You have been given a gift by God. What is it? Eternal life. Hear again what Jesus said about his sheep. John 10, 28, 29. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Hallelujah. That includes the devil, in case you're not sure about that. All. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. See, when we come to the Give and Thanks Bit at Communion, see, if there's not at least 10 people, I am going to be crying out loud, friends. This is the truth. I'm going to ask you, have you been facing fiery trials that have made you waver and doubt your salvation? Have you been despondent about yourself and say, I just can't live this Christian life? Have you been there? Are you there this morning? Here's what I'm going to say. Take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off your circumstances. Soak in the truth of the Word of God. You belong to Him. Rest in His keeping. Some might say, well, you know, if you talk like that, if you preach like that, that just makes people slack. You know, they just think, well, I'm saved, once saved, always saved. And, you know, nobody can snatch me out of the devil's hand, or God's hand rather. I can live how I want. No. Paul addresses that very issue. That's a misunderstanding of the Bible's teaching. That security we have, that is a starting point in a life of freedom. Not freedom to do what we want. Freedom to live how God wants us to live. That's the difference. That's how you know if somebody understands it. If you think, I can just go out and do what I want, you don't even understand it. You haven't grasped it. That would be trampling the blood of Christ underfoot. That would be abusing the grace of God. No, it's freedom. Because then I know on a day when I really feel, or on a day when I'm totally miserable about myself or about circumstances, I remind myself, it's not about that. It's not about that. I'm not questioning my salvation because I feel like that. No, He's got a mighty hold of me. He has a mighty hold of me. As for me, my feet had almost slipped. I'd almost lost my foothold. But then the Lord says, but I've got you by my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Listen, we're not living in order to gain God's acceptance. We are living from a position of already being accepted by God. Rest in His keeping. And finally this morning, rely on His love. Resting in His keeping, but we need to learn to rely on His love, not just for now, but for all eternity. We've been given a mortal body, but we have a soul that will live on in eternity, either with the Lord in eternal conscious bliss, in His love and His presence forever, or else in hell, suffering eternal conscious punishment, cut off from forever from the love and presence of God. It doesn't even bear thinking about. But that's the two options, the only two options the Bible talks about. So how can we be confident we will be with the Lord forever? Again, it's not about our feelings. It's about the truth 1 John 4:13 to 18. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Now listen to these couple of verses. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Right? So that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. I've met many Christians who fear the day of judgment. And they fear standing before God and that somehow or another they won't quite have been good enough. Where did that ever come into Christian teaching? They worry that somehow or another they will have got it wrong and God will say, depart from me. Friend, no believer ever should live with that thought in their heart. That is a thought from the devil. That is. Or else you're not a Christian for a start off. But if you are a true believer, you can have confidence in the day of judgment. And John tells us why. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The very moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, God gives you his Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes to reside in us. God lives in us by the Spirit. And what is one of the main things the Spirit does? He testifies with my spirit that I belong to God. Isn't that wonderful? And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talking about we have an eternal house in heaven. And God has given us spirit for a very specific purpose. In 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, that's to be with him in heaven, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I don't know if you've ever paid a deposit on something and the person has reneged and has either ran away with the deposit or given you it back and not given you the goods. That's not like God. God has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as his divine deposit. Friends, you have a divine deposit residing in your heart. The Holy Spirit. He is God's guarantee. God is saying, you are mine. I have a home for you in heaven. And my Spirit is the guarantee that you are going to be with me. When you stand before me on the day of judgment, when you stand there, you can be confident. Don't be afraid. You can be confident on the day of judgment because you have the Spirit. Oh, amazing. God isn't going to remove ever his Spirit from our heart. So when the enemy whispers in your ear, when he tries to plant those seeds of doubt, when he tries to steal your confidence and your joy, remind him, I'm not trusting in my own merits. I'm not trusting in my own goodness. I am a sinner. I do falter. I do fail. I do sin. But I am trusting only and ever in the blood of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And because of his blood, God has declared me justified, righteous in the sight of a holy God. His Spirit is in my heart as my guarantee that I'm going to be with him. I belong to him. Praise his wonderful name. Are you encouraged this morning?
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.